It's showtime. Hey, welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? My name is Jake Shadell. This is a podcast about reality television and friendship in which I ask my best friend, Thomas Powell, if he did indeed watch a certain reality show. Hey, Thomas, how are you doing on this hot, hot day?
Feeling hot, 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 as Buster Poindexter, so eloquently said. I want to die.
Yep, me too. It's incredibly hot where you are, and it's even hotter where I am. Probably even hotter than where they were on Survivor Season 1 called Borneo.
I
wonder what the average temperature is there.
It's a wet heat, too.
Ooh, yeah, because of all the sweat that's on my body.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
I've been in this room for about 3 minutes since you called me, away from the fan, and I'm already drenched in sweat. It's very uncomfortable. Is this fun to listen to?
Let's get this banner out of the way, and let's get down to business, because
all right, Thomas.
I also would like to turn my fan back on.
Yeah. all right, did you watch Survivor Borneo last night?
I sure did, Jake.
Alright, cool. The episode was called Quest for Food. Pretty good episode title, I think.
It's a very good episode title.
I like these descriptor episode titles. Before they were like, what if it's just a quote from somebody?
I think this is a much better... Like, I think every episode title this season has been pretty good.
Yeah, they started off high and... Well, this last season was pretty good when it came to episode titles, too, so...
The thing is, their episode titles are very dependent on their casts. Last season was a good cast, so there were good quotes. The season before that was not a good cast, there were not good quotes.
Exactly. This first aired on June 14th, 2000, which was 18 years and 3 days ago. I would have been 9 years old. How old were you on June 14th of 2000?
Still 8 years old.
Oh, interesting. Do you remember last week I told you that the episode had 18 million viewers? Do you know how many this one had?
I'm going to say 22.
23.
Damn.
MJ.
Oh, shit. Like that movie.
Did you know that Jim Carrey was New Line Cinema's answer to Michael Jordan? I don't know. I don't even know if that was a New Line Cinema project. It was the first studio I could think of. Okay, Jeff again gives a summary of the show and again says that the winner will receive $1 million in cash.
This is like, why are you telling us this? Like, don't tell the government.
Hey,
it's
be
all,
cool about
it's
it.
It's all under the table. We're not paying taxes on it.
And, you know, the winner didn't. So, I guess he was right.
Yeah, this
How do
was
you
back.
Think he thought he could get away with that?
Maybe, like, I don't know. Gift. Maybe they did just because they wanted to have the visual of it. Maybe at the end of it, they do hand somebody like a briefcase full of like bundled $100 bills.
I think after when we cover the finale, I'm going to look into the Richard Hatch tax evasion case and see what actually happened, because I didn't follow it that closely. I was just like, oh, that was fucked up. Okay, so we start off on the Toggy tribe. They try to go fishing again. Stacy, Sue, and Kelly complain about Rudy's brashness and talk about taking him out next.
Yeah, you were going to say Rudy's breath. Let's get that fucking
not,
old
not
man.
Not much of a stretch.
Got that old man stank.
You can smell his teeth, which I didn't realize was possible.
He said that Rudy's breath has a distinct old man smell.
But actually, Sue wants to take out Stacy because she is weak. Remember when that was something people worried about on this show? Bring it back. Over on Pagong, they also want food. Gretchen, Greg, and Colleen find a mud volcano, and then they tell the rest of the tribe about it. And everybody plays in the mud volcano, and there's techno music playing over the scene. Like this weird tropical techno music.
Yeah. Oh, with the mud? I was like, this is the most fucking 2000 thing that's ever happened.
Like, I don't think they realized what the show was yet.
It was fun, though. They were doing, like, the thing that Arnold does in Predator, where they just completely cover themselves in mud.
Yes. Yes. Did you know I've never seen Predator?
the fuck is wrong with you?
I don't know.
It literally might be, like, in terms of composition, the best action movie ever made. Like, it is incredibly tightly written. And good. Okay. It's legitimately very good.
I take your word for it. I need to watch that. And I've been meaning to watch it for... When did it come out?
1987, I think?
I've been meaning to watch that movie for 31 years.
When you were merely a bunch of just carbon floating around waiting to achieve sentient form,
when I was only Stardust,
I gotta see Carl Weathers.
Gotta see that Carl Weathers.
Gotta see Jesse the Body Ventura and Bill Duke. What are they up to?
I need to know. Over on the Toggy Tribe, Dirk reads his Bible and then shares his testimony, and Sue is very annoyed. Then Dirk reveals that he's 23 years old and has never had sex. Ooh. Stacy thinks that he has a crush on Kelly, and Kelly says, "I'm obviously not a virgin." No, Kelly, honestly, that wasn't obvious. Nothing would have indicated that to me.
Yeah, like, congrats on the sex.
I'm a cute young person. I've had sex. Like, why would we know that? That hasn't been discussed at all 3 episodes in, but good to know.
Yeah,
that's a
big, well, confirmed sex ever. That is a big time congrats on the sex move right there.
Yeah, very, very cool of you, Kelly, to have sex. What's it like? Is it cool? I'm waiting for her response. What if she called me right now? That would be crazy.
Finally! Now I'll know.
Dirk doesn't like how much Richard talks about sex. This was also a very 2000 scene, where it's like a bunch of reality stars talking about sex, you know?
The gay man is not weirdly repressed like the very religious guy. I honestly, like, I don't know how they were not immediately voting this fucking guy off the island.
Well, because he was catching all the fish. Oh, you mean Dirk?
Yeah, no, not Richard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know either. I guess he's got strength.
This is especially like a pre... It's like kind of a pre-strategy period, though. Like, you'd think it would just be like, he's fucking annoying, get him out of here.
Well, but if he can provide for the tribe in some way... Like, yeah, he's annoying, but also he does, like, the physical part of the game. Or... He provides in camp life, and that's valuable. Whereas Stacy doesn't do anything.
I feel like if I were on Survivor, I would legitimately, like, I would usually play strategically, but I would also, like, if somebody really bugged me, I would just vote him off.
Just be super petty about it.
Yeah, just be like, I don't like them. Like, I hate being around them.
They're not cool. Like, I came here to chill. I did come here to make friends, and this person's not my friend. Jeff is walking around on a spit of land and summarizes the game up to this point for some reason. Why did we need this?
I mean, they, you know, it was a new game, it was a new concept, new show. They probably figured that if it took off, people would be coming in, you know, this episode without having seen the other ones.
I guess that's
especially
true.
Because it was at a time where it was much harder, like, you couldn't, like, you know, just fucking go on... you know, watch the episodes on demand that you missed or something, or go on Hulu or whatever.
That's true. And, yeah, and they have, like, doubled their viewership in the past 2 episodes, so I think... I mean, it makes sense. It's just... It's weird to see Jeff outside of Tribal Council or a Challenge or a Medivac.
It's true.
Because that's the only time we ever see him anymore. At Treemail, they figure out that they are going to have to do some diving at the next challenge, and Jervis is nervous about swimming. Remember last week when we went on that riff about Jervis eating good at Olive Garden or whatever? What is it? When you hear your family.
Yeah.
I made the photos. I made the ads where he was eating those maggots. And guess who liked and retweeted it?
Did Jervis?
From Jervis and also a bunch of other people who aren't Jervis.
That's cool.
Yeah, so we're friends now with Jervis.
Hell yeah, Jervis.
Third place finisher. Yeah, like that guy, YMCA basketball coach. Do you know we're both wearing Pistons jerseys from different eras right now. I spent like a good half hour reading and watching YouTube videos about the 2004 Pistons.
Hell yeah, baby. We're it was what, 14 years ago?
14 years ago.
A couple days ago that they won it all.
Yeah. It's been as long since the last championship as it was between their second and third championship.
No longer. You're right. Same. I don't know why. 90, for some reason.
04 and 04.
Yeah, you're right. The same amount. So if I know anything, that means we're winning it all next year. Look out, Warriors. Yep.
Thanks, Mr. Casey. Right? Dwayne Casey is the new coach, right?
Please, Mr. Casey. Uh-oh.
Well, he's like a legendary coach in a way, right?
He's not a legendary coach. He's a pretty good coach.
He's a pretty good coach. Larry Brown was a pretty good coach. They brought him in, and oh, look, they fucking won the championship. Yeah, they just need their new Sheed.
Yeah, they just need
Sheed. And there
Sheed.
We go. They have to carry a big... Oh, at the reward challenge. The first thing we see is Jeff Probst wearing some very cool, very 2000 sunglasses.
Oh my god. The only thing that was like, yeah, it's fucking Oakley's or whatever, the only thing that was missing was him like putting them on the back of his head.
Yeah.
What's up, guys?
They have to swim out into the water and carry a big chest that's underwater up to the beach. First team to do so wins fishing gear. Tagi wins, and then they dance around the chest. Here's one thing that I miss about old school Survivor. Like, I do love how it's become more strategic and more of a social game and all that. But I miss seeing the tribes, like, get really close like this.
Yeah, just having fun.
Yeah. Over on the Tagi beach, Richard goes fishing with the spear that they won. Meanwhile, Sean, and I believe it was Dirk, go out on the raft. Sean and Dirk look exactly the same, so I have a hard time remembering who's who.
They really do.
And then there's also Greg, who looks the same, but I think he's on the other tribe, and he has lighter hair. And that's the whole cast of Survivor Borneo. Richard catches a ray, and Sean tells him to catch an actual fish. This was a fun, lighthearted rivalry. Richard thinks that his place on the tribe has increased because he's providing food now. Quest for food. It's the episode title.
Ozzy strategy right here.
Before Ozzy was even a thing.
Yeah, this is the...
Before Ozzy was even born.
This is the proto-Ozzy strategy.
Yes. Over on Pagong, they're ready to eat rat. And then Greg shows off his rat guillotine that he created. He created this, right? It looked like he built it on the island.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
And then he also says, questions of edibility only have to do with your perceptions. How is that not, like, a quote that people look back on? Like, whoa!
Time is an illusion by brain.
That was crazy. Like, I paused the episode to write that whole quote down, because that's
it's a good quote.
Crazy. I mean, he's right, but that's such a weird thing to say out loud. As he's eating his first bite of rat, he says, it's not bad if you use your imagination, and then Ramona says, how much imagination are you using? Also a very good quote. And then he hands some to Ramona and Jervis loves it. Eating good in the neighborhood. That's not what it is. When you're here with your family.
Now you just have to... Well, now you could... Well, that was before that was family style. Maybe now this is Applebee's. So maybe now you Photoshop eating good in the neighborhood over him eating rat.
You know I will. Over on Taki, they get tree mail again, and it tells them to build a stretcher. And then they build a stretcher and run around the beach with it. Another scene of this tribe just having a lot of fun together. I love it. Immunity challenge.
It's like camp.
It kind of is, though.
Stay in touch. We're all going to be best friends forever.
They were like, have a great summer. And then they were all like, we are. Okay, at the immunity challenge, the lightest person from each tribe is stuck in a tree after a plane crash. and then they have to run around the jungle to find them, cut them down from the tree, and carry them on a stretcher back to the beach.
I like that they made
beach.
These people RP, that they were like, that they actually parachuted in and were caught in a tree. Please, I'm going to die, help!
I loved it. That's such a great concept for a challenge. I don't know, I meant to check if they ever brought it back. If they haven't, I'm going to be really upset.
It is. It's the kind of thing that, like, is almost a little too, like, it's so out of left field, whereas all of the most of the challenges that they do nowadays seem very, you know, kind of formulaic.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. I think they got the idea of being trapped or stranded on a desert island, and they just fucking ran with it. And they're like, what could happen on a desert island?
Yeah,
oh,
this,
a plane crash.
This is a lot more, you know, like, the instead of the more recent seasons, it's like, you know, there's almost like there's a self-awareness of, like, the meta of the game or whatever.
Right.
Whereas, but, like, the first...
Watch Ghost Island.
The first season, since they didn't totally know what they were doing, it was just a new thing. It was like they were really focused on the survival part of it. So, like, they actually were a lot, you know, more... they were a lot closer to the theme of the show.
And I think that's what made the show a success in the early days. Like, if they came out with the strategic hardships of recent seasons of Ghost Island, of not Triple H, but the one before it, Game Changers? God damn it, they went on a bad run there for a second. But, like, of Second Chances or something, it's like, I don't know that it would be what it is today if you... came into it with that kind of thought.
Yeah, I think it would have been around. Like, I think it would have been just fine, but it wouldn't have been, like, the sensation that it was.
Right. I don't think it would have caught the public's attention the way it did. I think it would still exist, but I think it would exist in the same place in pop culture that, like, Big Brother does now. Whereas, like, oh yeah, people watch that show, it's still going strong, but it's not as big a deal as it could be, because it's in the name, the survival aspect of the game.
Yeah, Survivor is like Coke, and Big Brother is like, I don't know, like 7-Up.
I mean, I would flip it because I like 7-Up more than Coke, but I understand what you mean.
In terms of, like, yeah, like prominence as a soda.
Oh my god. Speaking of different brands of soda.
Wait, what's a... Is there a rip-off? Did somebody do a rip-off show of Big Brother? Because that would be DNL. Remember DNL?
There was a rip-off of Big Brother. It was called The Glass House.
Yeah, the Glass House is DNL. The Glass House is,
But DNL was 7-Up, right?
Okay, that's
flipped it.
So Celebrity.
It was like Lemon Lime instead of Lime Lemon or whatever.
Yeah, Celebrity Big Brother is DNL.
Yeah.
What's
Sierra Mist.
What the fuck was that soda that was like Sun Pop? That's Glass House of Sun Pop.
Yes, Sun Pop, the Lemon Lime soda that sponsored Real World Las Vegas, where we met Leroy.
I just...
And Nani.
I hadn't thought about that soda in a good long time.
Oh my god, Sundrop. I think it probably still exists.
I haven't seen it anywhere. But I guess it probably does exist in the same sense that, like, I'm sure, like, Big Red Soda still exists, even though I never see it anywhere.
Is that a soda based on the gum?
Yeah, it's a cinnamon flavor. Ugh. The funny thing is I joke about that, but Pepsi, like, very recently did that fucking cinnamon Pepsi.
Oh, I forgot about that. Ugh. Oh man, it's so hot that there's, like, sweat in my eyelashes now, and I can't really open my eyes. Okay,
let's move through this.
Yeah,
we gotta survive recording this episode.
Soda. Yeah, this is worse than Survivor Borneo, where they had to paddle like 6 miles to their beach and didn't eat for 6 days. Being in a hot room for 20 minutes is the same. Okay, so Bagong gets to their person first and ends up winning the whole thing. And then they have to climb a rock out in the water to retrieve the immunity idol.
That's so dumb. I love that they made them do that.
Like, why? We don't need it.
Fuck you. Go out there.
Hey, good job winning. Here's another challenge for you. Over on Tagi, Stacy says, they're all as scared of getting voted off as much as I am. Rudy thinks that all the young people will band together and vote him out. As they hike to Tribal Council, Kelly weighs her options and says, first instance of this quote on all of reality TV, I think, "I don't think anyone's out here to make friends. I'm not here to make friends."
This is kind of like listening to Johnny Be Good now, where it's like, wow, this is fucking boring. I bet this was way more fun at the time.
Yeah. That's one thing I was afraid of, like, when we decided to do this, was like, is every episode going to be just, like, the same thing of people complaining about being hungry? But, like, I like that we're seeing the bones of it, you know?
No, it's in the same way that if you take, like, a film class or whatever, you'll watch, and some of them hold up better than others, but you'll watch some, you know, early filmmaking, and a lot of it is kind of rudimentary, and you'll understand, like, oh, this is the first time that anyone had tried this, and you're like, oh, yeah, no one had ever said that before, or like,
right,
or what was the other thing I was looking for? Like, you go back and watch, like, old sporting things, and it's like,
yeah,
oh, they had to invent the forward pass or whatever, or like in basketball, it's like somebody like did a crossover for the first time and yeah, like, dunk, or like dunked, or
like the first sprite. It's like, oh, this was the first one.
This is the first, you know, sprite that anyone.
This was
made.
The first lemon lime soda that.
You know what the
made.
First sprite was? 7-Up.
Oh, fun fact. all right, Thomas. Let's get into these wildlife shots.
Wildlife.
There's a crab.
There
what
sure
are you doing
was.
With your hand right now.
I didn't realize it was in the shot until a second, you know, on camera for a second ago. I was just like, just moving my, rubbing my fingers together.
Oh, okay. I thought you were trying to get my attention for something.
Garcon?
Okay. we're doing a totally visual
now, yeah, bit. Now we're doing fucking,
we're doing Italian chef
doing
fingers
pizza,
at each other.
Now we're
other.
Doing pizza hands.
Yeah. Have you seen this new Twitter account, Italian Elon Musk?
It's, okay, to be a pedant about it, it's not new. It's, like, a guy that, he actually lost his verified thing for it, but it's Alex Arbuckle, who's, like, he's written for Mashable, and he's, like, a comedian, but, kind of the way that, like, do you follow Trill Ballins?
No, I don't think so.
You should follow Trill Ballins. Trill Ballins is the best parody account on Twitter, where he will just repeatedly change it up to a new dumb thing. But this is kind of the same thing where he just, like, as a joke a couple days ago, renamed his account Italian Elon Musk, and has been doing that the whole time, and lost his blue check mark for it. But no, it's extremely
so
good. I think my favorite of all of them thus far was the one that was like, gonna go to Mars to prove Olympus Mons is a bullshit mountain. I spit at it. Vesuvius, Vesuvius, number one.
I shoot at the calzone into space.
I don't pay into taxes.
I don't pay into taxes. You know, Elon Musk is gonna make a new train for this fine city of Chicago because
yeah,
because totally
that's
necessary.
What they need. They need, like, another train that operates for fewer people.
Yeah,
that is,
but it's
like,
more expensive.
Not actually faster in any way.
I said this on Twitter. The blue line runs from O'Hare to downtown, where this new train is supposed to run. And sometimes that train runs express. So, like, how much time are you actually saving?
Literally, all you have to do is just improve on the infrastructure that you already have, and it will cost less money than just throwing a big pile of money at some fucking private contractor to do this.
Dude, do you know how much the CTA train tracks cost? A few years ago, I lived off, this means literally nothing to anybody who doesn't live in Chicago, but I lived off the California Blue Line stop, and for like one summer, they closed that one side of that station and a couple other stations that were nearby to like redo the tracks, and it cost $250 million.
Yeah, it's
for like three stops.
It's expensive to do, but like at the same time, it's absolutely worth it as like a public utility.
Yeah, it's stupid. Elon Musk should be the one fired into fucking space.
Get these hands, Elon Musk. Our invitation to host the White House Correspondents' Dinner
has been revoked. We can't start talking about Money in the Bank. It starts in 10 minutes. Let's just get through this. Okay, we did not talk about any of these wildlife shots, so hit that sound her again. There we go. Okay, so we got a crab, we got a white fish with a yellow tail, we got a clownfish finding Nemo, and we got the crab eating macaque.
You know the meme where it's like the hand hitting the blue button? I just want that, but with wildlife shots.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I don't know how we would incorporate it into the show, but I'm on board.
We wouldn't at all. It would just be a Twitter thing.
Good. This macaque is also called the long-tailed macaque and also the cynomolgus monkey. Okay. It has a long history with humans. They are seen as both agricultural pests, but also sacred animals in different parts of the world. They live in matriarchal groups, with the males leaving after reaching puberty. They are called opportunistic omnivores and have been seen using tools to acquire food. Since they live so close to humans, both inter- and intra-species conflicts have been observed. Over resources, they range from 15 to 22 inches tall. Males are 11 to 20 pounds. Females are 6 to 13 pounds. Their tails are 16 to 26 inches long. This part's fun. They have a cheek pouch to store food. That's good.
Are you just reading the whole Wikipedia page?
No. I am not. It was much longer than this. There were just a lot of facts I liked a lot about this thing. I'm trying to just rush through it because I'm in a pool. Though females have a preference for alpha males, they do display promiscuous behavior. That's a direct quote from the Wikipedia article.
Females like the Chad monkeys.
Yeah. Can you blame them? They live in groups to avoid predators. Okay, that's a really long quote, so I'm not going to read it. There was a study in which they determined that these animals can be spiteful towards each other.
That fucking good. Rules.
Here's a fun fact. Males will groom females to increase their chance of mating, and guess what? It works.
Hell yeah.
Get it. Despite
groom
their name,
in a good way and not in a creepy human way.
Yeah. But also, felt a little creepy reading it.
It is a little creepy.
Despite their name, crab-eating macaques do not primarily eat crabs. In Singapore, their diet was studied and was found to consist of 44% fruit, 27% animals, 15% plants, and 14% provided by humans.
I guess the crab-eating is a little more like, if you said like it was a fruit-eating monkey, that's not narrowing it down.
Yeah. Apparently, though, the ones that live on the beach do prefer, have been seen eating crabs.
They just eat whatever's handy, you know.
Exactly. Like any monkey, they've been blamed for the extinction of some forest birds.
Hell yeah.
They are on the World Conservation Union's list of the 100 worst invasive alien species.
God, we're always so many invasive species whenever we cover any of these places.
They have the third largest range of any primate behind the rhesus macaque, and guess what number one is?
The chimpanzee. Of
all primates. It is not the chimpanzee. It is humans.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah, humans rock. Humans are the only species to do podcasts, so
humans rock.
Two were cloned in China earlier this year. They were the first primates to be cloned with the somatic cell nuclear transfer method.
I get that it's a scientific breakthrough, but if you're going to clone something, maybe try and clone, like, an endangered
not
species
an invasive,
and not the invasive yeah. one. I guess they're really easy to have handy or whatever. I mean, you just pick one up off the fucking street.
They were cloned using the same process as Dolly the sheep, so that's exciting, I guess. Okay, at Tribal Council, Jeff gives them a conch to speak their mind. I guess this was in an attempt to make them talk more?
Were they subtly nudging them towards, like, killing one of them at some point?
Oh, yeah. Richard says he doesn't want to get voted out because he's the one who catches the fish, and then it starts downpouring, and Jeff says it's raining too hard to keep them there any longer, so they should go vote. After voting, Jeff says, the good news is, for whoever will be voted out, you'll soon be drier. Always finding that silver lining, Jeff Probst. The votes are Stacy, Rudy, Stacy, Rudy, Stacy, Stacy. She gets up and says, "All right, you switched your vote." Which I think she's the first person to be salty about getting voted out.
Do you remember what her last name is?
Not off the top of my head. Why?
Because if I had it, I would have done like a Stacy's mom joke, where I just would have said Stacy, whatever her last name is really, really gone.
That's pretty good. As far as I know, she's still alive.
Well, I meant in, like, the voting off the show part.
Yeah, no, I know. I understand what you mean. I want to say, is Stacy Stillman a person?
Maybe, I don't know. That wouldn't really work. It doesn't have the syllables I need.
Yeah, you're really hoping that, her last name starts with, is one syllable long. Stacy Survivor Borneo. Oh, her last name is Survivor Borneo.
Hell yeah.
Let's see if my computer will find it. Oh, Stacy Stillman. That's her name.
Yep.
Stacy Stillman.
Stacy Stillman is finally gone. She's voted off. Wasn't there for very long.
Stacy is not here and won for me. I don't care about anything.
I know it might be wrong, but snakes and rats, Stacy's mom.
Okay, that was a fun bit. Let's do that again next week, because I want to get through this fucking episode. Happy Father's Day, by the way. Okay, challenge.
Happy Father's Day to my dad, Jeff Probst, and my other dad.
Nope, not your dad. That's not
my hated stepdad.
Okay, on the challenge, CT and Tony win the last challenge before the final, so they basically get to pick somebody to go to the final with them. CT wants to take Wes and Booby because he and Wes are old friends, but Tony wants to take Kayla and Drake because he and Kayla are old friends. The champs from each team try to convince CT and Tony to take them. At nominations, though, Wes votes in Kayla and Drake to save himself. So the final elimination is between Kayla and Drake and Louise and Casper. They have to jump 1,000 times to release an ice block, inside of which is an outfit they need to put on. And then they have to jump another...
That's extremely cool. That's a great challenge.
It's so good. It's so good. Then, after they put on the ice clothes, they have to jump 1,000 more times, and I believe that will release another ice block, which they have to do something else with. But the episode ended before that happened. Louise and Casper released their first ice block first, but Kayla was the first one to get her frozen clothes on. So, it's basically even as the episode ended.
Louise and Casper better win.
I actually don't care who wins. On one side, we get Kayla in the finals, and I'm always happy to see that. But on the other side, we get Louise in the finals, and I'm happy to see that, too. But she's not from the Challenge family, so... Although, I guess she kind of is. She's done a season already.
The Challenge is a family-style show.
Hey, when you're on The Challenge, you're family. Just ask Jervis. So you think Jervis is too old to do The Challenge? Probably. He's in his 40s, I think. Yeah, right?
Yeah, the window may have passed at that point. If anything, he should just come back and do Survivor again. Did he ever come back and do Survivor again?
Yeah, he took third in Blood vs. Water. He played with his niece, and his niece is the one who yelled, "Fuck you, Brad Culpepper."
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool that he came back.
Yeah. I'm happy to see that. Okay, use the hashtag TheMizOnSurvivor. New hashtag. Second week of this new hashtag. TheMiz, fucking future briefcase holder, Money in the Bank, is starting in literally 1 minute. Okay, let's get through this. Our show's Twitter, DYWSLN. You can follow me at Jake Shadell or Thomas.
Follow me at Tom.Tom.
Facebook.com/ Did you watch Survivor last night? Probably. Shoot us a review. And as always, have a great fucking hot as fuck summer.
Deuces. In the day we sweated out on the street of a runaway American dream. At night we ride through mansions of glory and suicide machines. Spun from cages on Highway 9, chrome wheel fuel injected iron, stepping out over the line. Baby, this town rips the bones from your back. It's a death trap.
It's a suicide rap. I wanna get out while I'm still young. Cause tramps like us, baby, we were born to run. Well, when did you let me in? I wanna be your friend. I wanna guard your dreams and visions. Just wrap your legs around these velvet rims. Strap your hands across my engine. And together we could break this trap. We'll run till we drop, and baby, we'll never go back. Walk with me out on the wire. Girl, I'm just a scared and lonely rider, and I gotta know how it feels. I wanna know if love is wild. I wanna know if love is real. Beyond the palace, Hemi power drones scream down the boulevard. A girl's comb her hair in rear view mirrors. The boys try to look so hard. The amusement park rises bold and stark. Kids are huddled on the beach in the mist. Well, I wanna die with you, Wendy, on the streets tonight, in an everlasting kiss. Well, the highway's jammed with broken heroes on a last chance power drive. Everybody's out on the run tonight, but there ain't no place left to hide. And together we could live with sadness. I'll love you with all the madness in my soul. Someday, baby, I don't know when we're gonna get to that place that we really wanna go, when we'll walk in the sun. Dylan tramps like us, baby, we were born to run.
Oh my god. I have 3 fans going in the other room. It's awful. I hate it. Bring back winter. Just kidding.
Winter's 3 fans. What is this? Our podcast?
Good one. All right.